Who was he around when he made Controller and One Dance? And who is he around now?
A lot of times, a woman in a relationship can be a groupie or obsessed with a celebrity while they're in a relationship with like a non-celebrity.
Yeah. If your sole purpose is to go there to like
dry
a black woman, then it's like, bro, you have to get buckled still.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not trying to get buckled.
In the graphic video of a prison officer and an inmate having in UK jail has gone viral. The officer can be seen showing her face and badge number while she has a wedding ring on.
Oh my goodness.
Watch it. She's about to get backed, bro. In the jail cell. Look at her. She's kissing the inmate.
She's into it.
The inmate turns her around, pulls down her pants. Holy moly, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want your wife in certain jobs, bro.
I agree. There are a lot of jobs, even if I had a girlfriend, that I wouldn't be too comfortable with. And the problem is that when you say that, it makes you sound insecure. But I'm gonna be honest, bro. I wouldn't want my girlfriend being a bottle girl.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain jobs that you kind of understand the expectations and you're like, okay, well, you're gonna be having to do this type of activity. You're gonna have to exhibit this type of behavior as your job, you know?
So the thing is, like, any man doesn't want a woman they care about, whether it be their wife, their sister, their daughter, in proximity to too many penises, bro. That's just what it is. They don't want the love, like the person they cherish, in proximity to too many. Like, that's just what it is.
And that's valid. I feel like it's almost like if you really like your girl, you wouldn't like that. If you're cool with your girl having a job where it's like she's always around other dudes, then maybe you don't even love her. You know what I'm saying? That's like some Adam 22 cuck kind
exactly,
of vibe.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Even me, I'm in the industry. I don't really want to date a shorty that's in the industry. You know what I mean? Like, especially if she's an artist, late night studio sessions and shit. This man's like Drake lurking around and
wait, so would you date another female DJ?
Female DJ? Nah, I don't think I would still.
They're pretty cool though. Like, I feel like female DJs want to date a male DJ more times.
Like, I just don't see it working out. I feel like there'll be too much competition. Like, it would just be a weird dynamic, you know? Like, yeah, I don't want my shorty just being out there all night. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, it's not a good look. Why don't you just, we can't both be out there in the club every night because who's watching the youths?
I feel that. Okay, wait, so let's do this quick. Top five jobs you don't want your shorty working.
Dancer, obviously, in any facet.
Even like a ballet dancer. Or like a classical, like what if she's like a merengue teacher?
Okay, any nightlife dancer, whether it be go-go dancing, stripping, any type of nightlife, any nightlife. So that goes with like bartending, hosting, bottle girl, anything in the nightlife.
Okay, so we'll just put that under like nightlife in general. Yeah, okay, we'll so nightlife. Okay.
We'll also say artistry. So like singers, rappers. I don't think that's nightlife. That's just like being an artist.
So a creative.
Yeah.
The creative industry. Okay, so we don't want artists or anyone involved in nightlife. Okay, so those are more industries. So we're more going like industries, not even jobs or occupations.
Yeah. Also, I would say nurse.
Why? Because she's surrounded by like doctors and stuff all day, and like, ooh, it gets late night with those like overnight shifts.
I would just say because like, yeah, the shifts are weird, you know, like your shorty is not really home like that, you know, like, but maybe I could be wrong. What else is there? I would say I just had one in my head, like the teachers now be wilding. I'm not sure if you want your shorty to be a teacher.
I wouldn't mind my shorty being an elementary school teacher.
High school,
I'm not a big fan of. You know what's interesting? Like, I've DJed at elementary schools, and it's normally, like, all female teachers. Yeah. But high schools, you got the dude teachers, and they're talking about, oh, Mr. Michaels, how was your week? But, you know, it's like, there's, like, some kind of undertone. Like, why are you calling him Mr. This? Like, you know his first name, you know? Like, I feel like they get into that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other jobs that shorties be having that they be cheating. Obviously, OnlyFans is there. Like, obviously, you don't want a shorty on OnlyFans. You don't want a shorty. Oh, stewardess. That's the top
flight attendant.
One. Flight attendant.
Yeah.
Flight attendant.
You know the pilot is greasing it.
No, facts. Yo, I actually know flight attendants that like just the other pilots. And so I know this one shorty, she got cheese because the pilot, she found out the pilot was a whole bunch of other stewardesses.
As he should.
You guys are going to all these tropical islands and like docking for the day. You know what I mean? Like he's docking for a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like being a pilot is such a respectable job that like he doesn't even have, he could smash like other flight attendants from other airlines, but it's just easier to deal with it. Like we're on the same flight. They're bringing them the food. They're going to the cockpit. It's called the cockpit. Yeah, no, bro.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why is it even called that? You know,
and your shorty is gone for, you know, your shorty's gone for too long. So
like she probably has a man in every country that she visits that you don't even know about.
Also the shorties that are like those war shorties.
Like soldiers?
Yeah.
Military? You don't want your shorty in the military? I wouldn't want my shorty in any type of law enforcement either. Like, I wouldn't want my girl being a cop.
Bro, all the cops are getting trained right now. What's going on?
Okay, so, okay, this is what we listed. So, nightlife, dancer.
Yep.
Any type of creative.
Not any type of creative. She could be like a painter.
Yeah, so like... solo endeavors is okay, but when you're like
in the music,
what if she's a producer? What if she's like a beat maker?
When it's like the creative, I would say the music industry and Hollywood.
Like anything?
Artists and actors and actresses, I'd say, because like you don't want to get diddied. You don't want your shorty to get diddied, and you don't want your shorty to get Harvey Weinstein. You know what I mean? Like, cause then you're gonna have to, then you're gonna have to go to jail because you kill Diddy or you kill Harvey Weinstein. Now everyone's mad at you. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, like without going there.
Plus, if you're dating an actress, there is going to be at one point a scene where she's going to have some type of romantic interaction with another actor.
Yeah.
And like, you either just got to like tuck your tail and be cool. Or if you like offer her any kind of backlash, she'll be like, well, I've been waiting for this part my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you're like, dang, like, and then now for the rest of your life, you're gonna have to see her kiss Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or whoever, you know? And I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't even mind kissing, you know what I mean? But like,
you wouldn't mind your shorty kissing another man for a movie role?
Nah, just because I'm an actor and like, I just know how it is on set. But like, I feel like nowadays the sex scenes be so gratuitous and they be so like, they be taking it way too realistic. You know what I mean? If you watch like Your Girl's Lacrimosa movies, he recently did Poor Things, which Emma Stone won an Oscar for. But like the sex scenes in his movies are just like, yo, I think they're really having sex. You know what I mean? So it kind of got a little too far. And also like, I feel like the Me Too movement kind of stopped all like, oh, the sex for roles type thing. But I feel like that still plays a part, you know what I mean?
You think Me Too completely abolished casting couch?
I don't think it completely abolished it, but I think it you definitely have to be way more careful, and it's not as blatant as it was before, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Before it was like, oh hey, Jennifer Aniston, my dick or else you're not getting this role. And then like that's how it goes. Like,
yeah. Okay, so now that we've listed occupations we wouldn't want shorties. Our shorties working.
Wait, I just have to say, porn star is obviously on the list, but yeah. We don't have to say.
That's a given. Obvious. That's a given. What are the top five occupations you would want your shorty to work?
Stay at home wife. There's only two occupations, stay at home wife or support your husband's business.
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't mind my shorty working at like Tim's.
She could be like a hairdresser.
Hairdresser is cool. Barber is different though. Like
barber is crazy.
Like there are female barbers.
Barber is crazy. Barber is crazy.
How would you feel if your shorty lined up eight mans that day?
Nah.
Like she giving fades. She talking about so like. I don't want how my shorty lining
mans in any capacity.
Any context. So. Yeah. Okay. So hairdresser's cool. What if she was like
nail technician?
Nail tech is a safe one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nail tech. Have your own little business, you know what I mean? But like I feel like man them should be providing more anyways. Mm-hmm. So the shorty doesn't have to go out and like slave and shit, you know?
You know what I wouldn't mind? If my shorty made like candied fruits. You know? Like, no, like chocolate dip. Shit. Yeah.
I just don't want my shorty to have any work husband type shit, you know? So like and most jobs, like if they you do. Work in retail, if you work like damn, imagine if your shorty's a mechanic.
Yo, that should be in the list of like jobs you don't want your shorty working. Auto mechanic, fam.
Yeah, what the f- are you doing?
Oh my goodness, nah, that would man, maybe you're right. Maybe they shouldn't work. No, I'm joking.
I'm just saying, me personally, I don't want my shorty working 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like, because I also don't want my youth being with some random babysitter type. And the person I am, I'm getting to the bag. So I could stay home with the youths, but then now we're jeopardizing the big bag for like whatever you have going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like if given the choice, the majority of women would prefer not having to work. Maybe they'll have the little candied fruits. Yeah, exactly, you know what I'm saying? Like those sour grapes. You know what I'm saying? Like something, you know, it's a little something, something just to keep them occupied. But I think that is a noble goal that every man should aspire to have. By the way, Burrow Sound, the wave in the muzzy.
Mad.
Back by popular demand. Black by popular demand. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, no, that last episode went crazy still.
It did, it man. Crazy. You had some like a lot of random Asian bot accounts. Not even bot accounts, but like they were just like Asian accounts with like zero followers, like getting at you, like knowing stuff about
facts,
you.
Facts. Like, and real accounts too. Like,
real accounts.
Shout out Big Norm from Extra Gravy Podcast. Yeah,
it's actually his birthday today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, happy birthday to him.
He had some good points, you know what I mean? So there was a good discussion, you know what I mean? And that is the whole point of these podcasts, you know, to create a discussion. That's all we want. We're not trying to like get at anybody, or we're not trying to like decapitate or really dictate what anybody does. We're just having discussions out here.
Yeah, and I think it is a healthy discussion to have, because a lot of people agreed with you too. Like I saw in the comment section, people were like, yeah, like this is the type of discussion we need to be having, and other people were kind of giving backlash, but you need that in a healthy dialogue. It shouldn't just be like everyone agreeing, but it also shouldn't be everyone just disagreeing, you know? Speaking of agreeing and disagreeing, your boy Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing more Not Like Us stuff now than when it came out. Like for some reason, it almost got like a second wave, no pun intended, but like it's got this resurgence after that concert he did on Juneteenth.
And I have to commend him for that concert, because everybody thought it would be like, we're going to bring out all of Drake's enemies and we're going to... And it wasn't that.
Like, he brought out his friends too. Like.
Like, the thing is, like, it was what Kendrick was saying the whole time. He just wants to represent his culture, what he knows and what he loves. And that's exactly what he did. I was like overcome by the West Coast appreciation. I watched the whole concert from start to finish live. And I was like, when Kendrick came out, bro, it was insane. Insane. Yeah.
How many times did he run Not Like Us, though?
It was like 6 times.
Bro.
And like the first time, it was like in the Matrix, bro. Remember the first time when like Neo was in Bullet Time and like everything was going slow around him? That's how it felt, bro. It was like insane.
We had former Raptor DeMar DeRozan showing love.
Yep.
You had YG, who Drake even shouted out in the track.
Yep. Russell Westbrook was there. LeBron was there.
LeBron was crazy because I swear they were boys. You know what I'm saying? And I would feel betrayed if I was Drake. I'm not going to lie. Like, you'd feel like, wow, like no friends in the industry, like for real, you know?
I don't think it was that. I think it was more so like showing appreciation to the West Coast. Like, I don't think YG was there just to say Drake. I don't think LeBron was there just to say Drake. I think they were there to show appreciation for LA and what LA has done for them. LeBron plays for the Lakers right now. Oh, yeah. Lakers just drafted his youth. So LeBron is like so appreciative to LA right now. He's shown his appreciation. Tyler the Creator came out. Dom Kennedy came out. That was insane. Steve Lacy. Ty Dolla $ign. This was like overwhelming. Like anybody who appreciates LA hip hop had to have been super satisfied that night, bro.
It's so hard to see that from a Canadian perspective, because could you even imagine everyone showing up for Drake like that?
Well, why would they?
Well, he's done a lot for the culture. He's done a lot to put Canada on the map, at least from like a musical perspective. I mean, we had Celine Dion before, but Drake is the biggest act out of Canada ever.
He's done a lot to put himself on the map, and because he's from here, we have gotten like kind of like the inklings and like, you know, that meme for like the king is at the top feasting and then like whatever drops
down.
We get the crumbs, exactly. You know what I mean? So I feel like he hasn't deliberately said, hey, Toronto, I am bringing us to the mountaintop. I feel like he got to the mountaintop and is like, I'll shine a little light on my city, but the light that I'm shining is going to be on like some weirdos and not like the real talent out here.
So I was watching Flagrant 2 podcast with Andrew Schultz, and they were having this discussion about what Drake's next move should be. And I thought they had an interesting point because they said right now, like in terms of the musical battle, you lost. So like you can't really come back with music because I think Kendrick kind of lessened his cultural relevancy, not his overall relevancy as a celebrity, but as a hip hop artist, right? Like, but what they were saying is if he got into some type of high profile relationship, like, what do you think he should do at this point?
I actually watched that part of that episode.
Yeah.
And normally I for Andrew Schultz, but he should never speak on anything hip hop, anything rap related. All of his takes are so like imbecilic. Like, yeah, it's so like dumbfounded. So
I hope that's a word.
I don't think it's a word.
Whatever.
But I do feel like I do understand what he's saying, that Drake does need to take like steam away from this whole Kendrick thing.
Mm-hmm.
But getting in a relationship with Kim Kardashian, because that's what Andrew Schultz suggested Drake did, that is just going to further play into all of the narratives that has been played. Like, maybe not the pedophilia narrative, the PDF narrative, mm-hmm, but more so the narrative of like, okay, who are you?
But what if it was like a dark-skinned black queen? Like Lupita. Like, what if he dated Lupita?
It just wouldn't feel genuine, you know? Just be like anything he does right now just wouldn't feel genuine because we don't know who he is.
I love that you said that because yesterday, the song Hot Uptown with Camila Cabello just came out. And I messaged you about it.
Oh my God, bro. I want to puke, bro.
And even when I heard it, because yo, first of all, I definitely downloaded it because I do corporate events. Yeah. This is good background music. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good for like white crowds. But I just can't, like, his patois accent now, I don't know if it's just, like, different now, but, like, even for me as, like, a non-black person, like, it's starting to feel artificial. Whereas, like, Controlla and stuff, like, for some reason, that felt a little more genuine.
Who was he around when he made Controlla and One Dance, and who is he around now? I have not seen Popcorn with Drake for a minute. I don't know what's going on over there. I have to look into that. Mm. You know what I mean? But yeah, he hasn't really touched around the Achilles for a minute. So the patois is getting a little rusty, you know? Like, I'm listening to the song and I'm like, yo, what the f*** am I hearing right now? The man's saying like, Nike, I'm a shoemaker. Like we don't speak like that, bro. That's not a thing. You know what I mean? That's not hot. That's not lit. I'm like cringing as I'm listening to this because, as I said before with the Wagwan Delilah,
mm-hmm,
these are two white passing people trying to do some dancehall shit to catch a buzz, you know what I mean? And they're not involving anybody from the dancehall culture. So it's just like a factory made song, you know?
Yeah, it was almost like ChatGPT make me like a patois adjacent kind of like with a little bit of Afrobeat.
Exactly.
And I saw your story about Camila Cabello, who, she is like a white passing Cuban. She is Latina, but all of her big songs, besides the one she's done with Shawn Mendes, who I think she's dating, but I'm not sure if they're still dating because she's spent a lot of time with Drake.
Yeah.
But all her big songs are with black artists, you know? Like,
literally. Like, so I feel like a lot of pop artists, you know what I mean? Whether it be Miley Cyrus, although I love what Miley Cyrus is doing now, her whole like,
I can buy flowers, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like her whole raspy voice type. Like, I love that. But I find a lot of pop artists, when they need to get that resurgence, when they need that energy, they always go to black culture, whether it be like trap American culture or it be Caribbean culture. Those are like the two go-tos. They either go to Atlanta, and she has Playboi Carti all over an album.
Young Thug she's had before.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's just like, are you really like, what is your intention here? That's what I always boil back to, you know? And that's why I'm so glad that Kendrick put on this masterclass of culture from the Like That verse all the way to what we're at now, because it's kind of like a shifting of the tides, a changing of the paradigm, you know? Where it's like, okay, what is your intention behind you know, is this a facade or are you really making music right now?
Yeah, I feel like with Kendrick, he's always had that like why he makes his music. He's always made music with a purpose. And I feel like we never questioned Drake's why until now. Like before it was just like Drake is the best.
Yep.
He is the coolest. He's untouchable. Like he had that aura. You know what I'm saying? I like that I've been seeing the word aura a lot now. Kind of because it's like that's actually a word. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I feel like he lost aura points with this whole thing.
I don't want to get too conspiratorial. Yo, I've been drinking, so if I'm saying words that aren't words, then you just have to know exactly what I'm saying. But I don't want to go too deep down conspiracy lane.
Yeah.
But FBI, CIA, they literally dictate the music and the movies that we are exposed to. So it's not a coincidence that righteous music, conscious music, anything that has some sort of substance or intellect, anything that has some sort of message to it, that is not getting pushed to the forefront. You have your Sexy Reds, and every female rapper that's out here that gets pushed is just like some ratchet, degenerate.
Absolutely.
Every rapper that gets pushed out is just like some degenerate, unintellectual, stupid, like imbecile, like that is just crashing out, you know what I mean? And that is having a trickle effect on the youths, which is the agenda. Like I said, I'm not trying to get too far down conspiracy lane.
No, it's not even conspiracy. That's just facts.
Literally, you know what I mean? So I just feel like it's so refreshing to have like this burst of culture. And even though Kendrick Lamar is unifying gang culture, I feel like that is the exact opposite of the agenda that's being pushed. Everything is like division, beef, ops, opposition, like going against each other. You know what I mean? And this is finally a moment for hip hop, for gangsters, for everyone, especially men. We don't really have many spaces where we could unify. So that's what I feel like is so refreshing about this moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, building off what you were saying, Kendrick kind of highlighted the difference between the culture and the corporatized culture, which is a part of this larger infrastructure of borderline propaganda targeted at mostly Black youth, Hispanic youth, this kind of cultural machine that Drake has been at the forefront of. Exactly. And like the thing is, though, I felt like Drake was a very brand friendly artist, because even though he would have songs with that, you know, expressed like gangsterism or debauchery, or, you know, he wasn't like, I'm trying to think of an artist that is wasn't like King Von or something. Exactly, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, so is Drake responsible for like contributing to this infrastructure, to this machine that you allege that maybe the CIA or FBI is behind?
I don't think he's responsible for that at all. You know what I mean? Because like you said, most of the music that he makes is not really in that lane. However, in recent years, we see how much he has like delved into like mob ties. I'm a spin on Kanye West's block. I'm catching these ops, headshot this, XXX, SMS. You know what I mean? So I feel like maybe the powers that be kind of nudged him over there as well. But like I'm saying, this is all conspiracy.
But yo, here's what I'll say. Like, say you had a kid, you had a son, right? I wouldn't mind my son sort of looking up to Drake, like aspiring to be like Drake. But I might have an issue with my son trying to be like King Von or I already said that, but I'm trying to think of like other examples, even 21 Savage, but
Drake is not really in this conversation because he came out so early. I feel like it was before this agenda was fully realized. You know what I mean? Like when you talk about King Von and all these gangster rappers, that was like 2015 on, you know what I mean? Drake is like 2009, 2010 era. So I feel like this is like a recently new agenda. That's why like all these new female rappers, it's like the last 4 or 5 years type thing. You know what I mean?
Well, even Nicki Minaj, even though she can rap her ass off, like she is a good rapper and she makes good music too. Like regardless of whether you're male or female, like you should be able to appreciate the fact that she has bars. Like she's a legit MC.
She does have ratchet songs and she is a little ratchet at times, but that wasn't her image. It wasn't like, oh, that's a dirty whore, Nicki Minaj, you know, even though her name is literally Minaj. It was more like she carried herself as just like a queen who is in tune with her body type shit, you know?
Where yeah.
Like, I could do what I want. Yeah, I could have a threesome type shit, but I could also like just be a queen. In regards of you saying, would I have my kid look up to Drake? It's just because I am so pro-black, I would say no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. if I look at Drake's lifestyle, I'm like, you know, look at who you breeded. Look at your whole family. Like, you're not really like a stand-up gentleman that I would want to model my life after. You know what I mean? You're kind of like a degenerate. You know what I mean? Like, you're stuck in your high school ways. Even to the woman that you're dating, it shows that you're stuck in like that early 20s type era. You know what I mean? So I don't want to keep bringing it back to Kendrick, but like...
Yeah, you'd rather your kid look up to Kendrick for sure.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, although a lot of people shit onto Pimp a Butterfly, they say it's like, oh, some slave album. It activated, like, anyone who's pro-black or anyone that is, like, in tune with their blackness, don't know what I'm talking about. It activates something in you that Hollywood would never, ever show you. Because Hollywood, they start black history with slavery, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With music, oh, it starts with gangster rap and stuff, but... When people show you, you are a king, your DNA is like royal. It's like a whole new perspective that is never given to you in school. It's never given to you in any other facet of life, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Even for me, I like at that time of my life when Pimp a Butterfly came out, I was like probably like I wouldn't say hardcore Christian, but I was very Christian.
Yeah.
So even like other like worldly music, like wouldn't do it for me. Cause I'm like, it was all just BS, but I'm like, yeah. Yo, I could actually listen to like conscious Kendrick and like to Pimp a Butterfly. And there was like a story.
Yep,
yep. So I can definitely appreciate that too. And I feel like a lot of whites that are like a little more into educated rap or conscious rap, like they love Kendrick too, exactly. You know?
One thing, my bad, I just want to say, because you brought up educated whites, like, I feel like there's just one genre of rap music right now that everyone is making, whether it be black people, Latin people, white people, everyone's making this spin on your op type music. But I feel like it should be much more diverse since hip hop is so much further than it was. Mm. Like, I love Marshall Mathers LP, Slim Shady LP. Like, I memorized those albums, bro, because when Eminem was in that bag, that was like his lane. And that's just like the whole Hobson, Immortal Technique. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like hip hop has kind of condensed itself into this one King Von, spin your ops type shit, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Like, how many conscious rappers are there even besides Kendrick? J. Cole, I feel like, has kind of kicked himself out of the conversation, but he still has good music.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree that like you have to have a wide range of hip hop because there are a wide range of hip hop followers and fans, you know? And it's interesting you said, I want to bring it back to the Nicki Minaj thing, because at the time, Nicki Minaj was like, there was a shock value to her. But now when you see like the Glorillas, the Sexy Reds, like Nicki Minaj looks like Mother Teresa. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, she looks like the most classy, like almost like conservative rapper. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of interesting that like as time goes on, like the bar gets lower and lower in a sense, and now we look back at Nicki Minaj like, yo, she was classy, but at the time she was doing ass like, you know, like,
so do you think music has a direct correlation on the behavior of the youth?
Absolutely, man. You've DJ'd proms.
Yep.
I've DJ'd proms. You can see literally the effect of certain music. It literally, first of all, it influences your movement.
Yep.
Influences your thoughts. And it can influence other behaviors. You ever have a moment as a DJ, and any other DJ, let me know if you feel this. Have you ever played the right song and you literally see a guy and a girl start dancing and like there's a spark that happened because of the music you're playing? Like they would not be whining on each other or whatever if you didn't play the right songs. And for me, like, I always get hype when I see like, you know, a next man's getting girl because of what I played. Like, it's a very like proud feeling.
You could literally change the entire energy if you play one song. And I don't want to go back to the Kendrick concert, but that's why he didn't play Meet the Grams, because the whole energy would have switched. But to keep on the influence on youth, I was DJing a wedding this weekend, right? Okay, so a little girl comes, because they're always fascinated with the DJ setup, right?
Yeah.
So she's just there. I'm letting her speak on the microphone a little bit, da-da-da. She's like, congratulations, like, to the bride type shit, blah, blah, blah. So when I start playing the rap, I'm playing Sexy Red, Get It Sexy. She comes back to the DJ booth. She grabs the microphone and she is singing the lyrics. This is an 8-year-old little black girl singing, get it sexy, get it sexy, get it sexy. I'm just like, what am I witnessing right now? And although I am the culprit of putting this whole circumstance together, I'm just like, this is actually insane that our little princesses are being brainwashed into being whores, you know? And I don't want to say it so blatantly, but I am 28 years old. I want to have a family soon. And I am scared to have a daughter in 2024, bro.
Yeah, imagine 2032 when she's 8. You know, like, yeah, who knows what kind of music is playing. And it's interesting that you say that, because I've been going down this rabbit hole of like, nothing is real. Everything is frequencies. Like even solid objects are like frequencies floating and vibrations. And that's why music is crazy, because that is pure vibration.
Exactly.
And yo, like, that's why I don't like a lot of this like new drill music, because when I DJ it, it brings the vibrations down, bro.
It's true. It's true.
Actually makes you like want to do some stupid like activities, or like it doesn't even make you want to dance. Like at least with like Pitbull, Taylor Swift, like at least they make you want to jump, you know? Yeah. Like
when I used to do drills and stuff, like I would have to listen to certain songs in order for me to do it, because like my original, like who I am as a person, I don't like hurting people, and although I wouldn't want to hurt people, I don't like doing anything that's not righteous, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously circumstances make you who you are, so when you have to get into that mode, I just listen to a certain songs. I'm like, oh, anybody could catch it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that is the power of frequency, as you say, you know?
Yeah, I DJ'd this grade 8 ceremony, graduation ceremony, and they had a dance after, right? Open my eyes to a lot of things, all right? First of all, women mature way faster than men, or like girls mature way more than boys.
When you say mature, what do you mean?
I mean, like, in terms of how they want to act. Like, for example...
Okay, because bads will take that the wrong way.
No, I don't mean physically, but there are studies that say that as well. But...
So the problem, like, you looking mature, babe.
Bro, this is a grade 8. This is grade 8, bro. So, you know, don't even throw that on me, man. Like, no, Diddy, but... Okay, yo, so listen. So, whatever. They're having dinner, and then I think the girls asked for, like... I think they asked for a Sexy Red song, no cap. Yeah, like the first song. Cause I'm playing like background music and stuff.
Exactly.
I'm playing now. I'm starting to play like hip hop. I know exactly what they want to hear. They want to hear Rich Baby Daddy. They want to hear Get It Sexy. Yeah. They want to hear Ice Spice, you know. But at the time, so these girls, they're putting their camera down and they're dancing. They're doing TikTok dances. Yeah. They're like, they're ready for high school. You know what I'm saying? Like they're, and the lyrics of the songs they're listening to are usually like sexually suggestive, talking about scamming mans, talking about men ain't anything. You know what I'm saying? So like, but then you look at the guys are shadow boxing. They're chasing each other. Like they're still in that mode of life, you know, like damn near recess. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was like, yo, this is crazy, because like the music that these girls are listening to makes them like, excited to lose their innocence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
true.
You already know, like, bro, if this is what you're listening to now, when you go to grade 9, grade 10, plus there's gonna be grade 12s and grade 11s pre-ing you and stuff, like you're done. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, when I be listening to like music from the 70s, 80s, 90s, when I listen to some Sam Cooke, some Otis Redding, when I listen even to like some Tevin Campbell, you know what I mean? SWV, I'm just like, wait. Mans were actually wooing the girl on them back then. You know what I mean? Like, you had to ask the father for the hand in marriage. You had to actually, like, take the woman out and get her to, like you. You know what I mean? These days, girl them are fucking off rip, bro. And, like, when I was early 20s, mid-20s, I was like, yo, I love this. But now that I'm getting older and now that I'm getting even more popular, I'm just like... ew, like, what is this world devolving to? You know what I mean? Like, even the amount of, like, shorties that, like, DM me, just, like, offering it on a table. And I'm just like, why would I take this? You know what I mean?
What does a DJ Natural groupie DM sound like?
They're few and far between. I'm not going to go on like it's, like, crazy. But normally... They always apply to the stories, though. They always apply to the story.
Yeah.
That's how they try to, like... open the door, And I don't really, I just react to the reply. You know what I mean? Mm. And then they'll just say like, oh, hey, like, what's up? How's it going? Type shit. Like, mm-hmm. they just try to keep the conversation going, but it's not crazy. There's only been a couple shorties that would like flat out just send a nude, flat out just say sexually suggestive shit that, you know, I'm not trying to go too crazy, but like shorties are getting kind of abrasive these days, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's a combination of, you know, the feminism movement, even though it's kind of fizzled out a little bit, but there is this like, you know, my body, my choice, like this is, I can do with what you can't politicize my, I'm going to do whatever I want. If I want to throw my, you know, and this is actually leading to my next topic, because groupies don't necessarily have to be just like single women. Like a lot of times, a woman in a relationship can be a groupie or obsessed with a celebrity while they're in a relationship with like a non-celebrity.
Yo, I'm not gonna lie. I was talking to a girl. She told me that she was buying the meet and greet $1,000 Chris Brown backstage pass.
No way.
And I stopped talking to her, bro.
I would never wife a girl that does that.
Cause like, what do you mean? Like, it's not like she's up. She's not up. You know what I mean? She's just like you and me. We're just regular people. So you're spending $1,000 just for Chris Brown to grips up your ass?
Well, at least she's single, so I can kind of understand that. But how would you feel if your shorty was obsessed with a celebrity?
I wouldn't even be with a shorty that's obsessed with a celebrity. Like, having the pictures on the walls and shit, having the shrine dedicated to them. If you blow out the candle, she's cheese. Like, nah, we're not doing all that. You know what I mean? Like, I cannot even imagine being with a shorty that puts any other man above me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or else, like, what are we doing here?
I had a discussion with this girl that, like, I guess I'm semi-talking to about this. Because I mentioned, I was like, you know how women have icks? I feel like that's an ick for me. If I see a girl who's like very obsessed with a celebrity, and I actually used to date a girl who was like obsessed with the Jonas Brothers,
yeah.
and she cried at their concert while we're dating. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, like, what does this even mean? You know, it was the Jonas Brothers, so I kind of allowed it because I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think their perspective is, oh my God, it's just a celebrity. They're never going to talk to me. But it's like, yo, these celebrities might hit you up. You know what I'm saying? And like, how does it make me look when you're foaming over celebrity when I've been taking you out to dinner for the last 8 months? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like
what the f*** did Nick Jonas do for you? He didn't do anything. Like, when your car broke down, I was the one that pulled up, changed your tire, fixed your engine, and then we wheeled off. Like, anytime you needed somebody, you couldn't call Nick Jonas. Like, this is insane to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out Nick Jonas. But
no, don't shout out Nick Jonas. You shouldn't be shouting out Nick Jonas.
Bro, you want to be that guy that girls are obsessed with. You know what I'm saying? But so, he has proven himself to an extent to be a high-value man.
Unless if you are the number one man in the world, there's always going to be some celebrity that tops yours. Like, look at the guy that his shorty... That he was married to for like 8 years or whatever. She went to do a studio session with Drake, and then that completely ruined their marriage. Look at DJ Drama. DJ Drama, one of the top DJ, like any DJ would love to be in DJ Drama's shoes. And his shorty got fucked out by Drake. And Drake sang about it on multiple songs.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
So it's like, unless if you are the number one guy in the world, it's like there's always going to be some celebrity that could get your shawty to sing high notes.
Not the high notes. And you know what's crazy? I feel like Elon Musk could bang any girl he wants in the world. Like, even like, he could probably take Drake's girl. And that's a different level of money, bro. I don't care if girls think he's ugly or whatever. Like, bro, the man has like a spaceship. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that is true on paper. I feel like there are shorties that wouldn't fuck him just out of sheer like principle and pride. You know, like,
I think he could throw the money that no one's ever thrown at anyone in human history.
If money is a factor, then yeah, then he wins.
And that's scary, but. I'm not going to diss Nick Jonas because that was more of my ex. You know what I'm saying? Nick Jonas is doing his job. Yeah.
Diss
know?
Your ex.
Yeah.
No dissing.
Okay, but, you know, absolutely. Like, I'm not even trying to do any type of negative energy activities here. But what I will say is sometimes I feel like they mask their obsession with, oh, I really appreciate his music. His music gets me through tough times. But in reality, he's probably a rich dude. Maybe she finds him attractive. And if there was a chance in her lifetime to be with him, like if that was even on the table for her, she'd probably jump at the opportunity.
And what women don't realize is like they have a million times more of a chance to sleep with their celebrity crush than guys do theirs.
We have zero chance, bro. We'd have to become a celebrity straight
up. Exactly. Beyonce is not picking up a guy out of her concert and fucking him. Rihanna, like any shawty that you want to name who's in the industry, they're not doing that. Megan Thee Stallion, go down the list. But Jason Derulo will probably take a shawty out of his concert and definitely give her the bacas, you know? Like, because we're all men and men see pretty girls. You know, like, women for sex, I feel like it's much more emotional. You know what I mean?
Okay, let me put you in a situation right now. You have a girlfriend. You think maybe this might be your future wife, the mother of your kids. There's a Burna Boy concert in town. She really wants to go without you.
She wants to go without me.
Yeah.
That's a problem right there.
But what if she like, man, I won't be able to enjoy it if you're there with me. I just want to listen crazy. To Burna Boy.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm shutting down. What do you mean you can't enjoy this concert without me?
Okay, even if she says, let's go together. And now you're with her. You know, you're hugging her. But you see this look in her eyes. That she's never given you. This just like astounded. Burna Boy's looking at her, pointing at her. Burna Boy brings her on stage. She's just going with the flow. She doesn't say no because she loves Burna Boy.
Why is this personally affecting me right now?
Dude, this guy heart sank a lot.
No, I'm like, what? She did what?
And after that, you know, you guys go home. You're obviously going to be pissed as a man because you just watched Burna Boy dance with your shorty and your shorty having the time of her life. And it was captured by at least 10,000 cameras. How do you respond?
I'm not going home with her still.
So you end the relationship there, even though you thought, yo, this could be my wife one day. Or do you allow it?
I feel like my wife wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I am an accomplished individual myself. So I feel like she shouldn't be looking at any other man with more passion than she does me. Like, I am the person that she chose. I feel like she should rate me enough, whereas like, who the fuck is Burna Boy? And I love Burna Boy too. You know what I mean? Like,
shout out Burna Boy.
But if I choose a shorty who I think would be my wife, if Rihanna came to me, I'm not going to like diss my shawty for Rihanna. You know what I mean? But I feel like women don't really see how men see things from our perspective, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's crazy. Like, say if I was in a very committed relationship and Rihanna hits on me, I feel like even her just hitting on me is the dub.
Exactly.
Like, I don't got to go all the way through it. I don't got to go to her hotel. I don't got to like get spoiled by her. Like, it's just like, yo, Rihanna hit on me. Like, you should be lucky. And your girl's going to be spiced at the fact that Rihanna just hit on you. You exactly. know what I'm saying? But girls will be like, okay, I'll go to your penthouse. Like, all right, like, fly me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, obviously, like, if you're single and Rihanna comes up to you, you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? But even just the thought of her wanting to do it is a dub in itself, you know?
Okay, this reminded me of like some video that I seen on YouTube. It went semi-viral, you know?
Okay. But
basically, it's like one of those cheating loyalty tests where these guys test their girlfriends. So this guy set up his girlfriend like, oh, this artist wants you to like take pictures for him, blah, blah, blah. So she goes, she's a hairdresser actually. So she goes to do the man's hair. And then the man is like about to fuck her. And then her boyfriend comes in like, oh, this was a test. I can't believe you would do this to me, da, da, da. And then her reaction is like, the reason why I'm doing this is because you like, you know, your dick is little. You know, you don't please me. Why would you even set this up to embarrass yourself? And she starts going in on him. And this simp ass ends up going home with her still, like basically forgives her at the end of the shit, you know? And like, that just made me think, like, is there any circumstance where a woman could cheat on you and you would forgive her?
For me, no. Like, absolutely not.
Even if you guys have kids together, you guys are married.
It's done, bro. You broke whatever bond we made in front of God. Because for me, I still think of marriage as somewhat of a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like something that might usually piss me off that I might allow if I was married to a girl is like if she liked a guy's picture. Like normally that would super piss me off, but if we have like a house and like kids and stuff, like
this guy compared having sex to liking a picture.
Yo, both of them piss me off still. Yo, that's obviously it's different, but exactly. Like there could, if your girl likes a certain dude's picture and you don't know what kind of relationship they've had in the past, that could be heartbreaking too, fam.
It depends on the type of picture she likes, you know what I mean? If it's like, oh hey, I just graduated from this 7-year law school degree and I'm so proud of myself, you can like that picture still. But if it's him like shirtless in a Speedo on the beach bent over, then yeah, why are you liking that, Mike? What are you doing?
Are there any circumstances where you'd be okay with your girl still following one of her exes or someone she's had any type of romantic contact with in the past?
Yeah, I think that's completely fine because I still follow some of my exes. You know, I'm like good friends with some of my exes, you know, so like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Dog, so you'd be cool with your girl following like mans that she used to smash, seeing his stories, maybe throwing a react here and there?
Yeah, because I feel like she's with me now, you know, there's a reason why they didn't work out type. You know, like,
so you'd be cool with your girl reacting to one of her ex's story, like, you know, the applause reaction. You'd be cool with that, bro? Or like a crying emoji? You'd be cool. I would not be cool with that, bro. Am I insecure?
Reacting is kind of crazy. So you guys still follow each other, but like the communication should be limited, extremely limited.
Like no reaction to stories.
Yeah, that's insane still.
No liking pictures unless it's like, nah, any type of picture. I don't care if it's a quote even.
She can like pictures. So I don't mind if she likes pictures, though.
Bro, this guy is progressive, though.
No, yeah, you know, like,
I didn't know you were like that, bro. What the heck?
I'm weird with my, I'm like very stern on certain things and very like liberal on other things.
This guy's like, you can't be an artist, but you can like your ex's pictures.
Speaking of liberals, yo, have you seen the speech with Donald Trump and Joe Biden?
Bro, I was watching that debate. It was a tough watch.
Doug.
He's not there, bro. It actually felt bad watching it.
Bro, and I'm not even a Trump guy. Like, I'd be actively looking for reasons to go against Trump. And I'm like, why are they still going with Joe Biden to lead this thing? Like, I'm like, you know, there's points where I thought it was going to, like, fall over. Like, the man is like, I'm just like, yeah, this is insane. This is insane.
I can't believe we were able to witness his presidency because he's been like that the whole time. And like, I've been watching it on and off and you'll hear Biden's responses. There's like zero confidence. Yeah. There's bare mumbles and Trump will be like, I don't know what he said. I don't think he knows what he said. You know
what's crazy? It was Biden's idea to do this friggin' debate. I'm like, who blundered? Like, what kind of a stupid idea? You've seen him like, every time he's done any public speaking, it has been atrocious. So why did they think, oh, is this going to ace this debate and we're going to be good? Even CNN after was saying Biden fumbled. Van Lathan was saying he's disappointed. Van Lathan, the most liberal out here. Van Lathan, one of the friggin' agents that are designed to keep black people voting Democrats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Him and Don Lemon.
So I'm just like, yo, that's crazy, bro.
I cannot see Joe Biden winning. I think we're going to see a record victory for Trump because even liberals are like, they can't get behind Biden because it's just like a purely functional thing. Like this guy is not there all the way. I'm like, if you didn't know him and he was just talking like that, you'd be like, yo, like, where's your caretaker? You know what exactly. I'm saying? Like, do you need a diaper? Like, I don't know, bro. Like,
I'm just like, why is there no age limit on politics?
That's true, man. There should be, or at least some type of like cognitive test to make sure you're all the way there. Cause yo, Trump is only 3 years younger than him.
Exactly.
But when Trump speaks, he's like very sharp.
Yep.
He's witty. Yep. He knows how to make jokes. He's like pretty savvy. I like Trump still, but
even Canadian politics, like how long has Trudeau been in office, bro?
Bro, my whole adult life, damn near, like,
it's been 10 years, right?
It's been about 10 years, 9 years, I think. But he got in because he was like, bro, the Gatim were foaming over him. And he told everyone that, like, he was going to make weed legal. So, like, that's where he got us, though. He got the youth.
He got us, though. He got all niggas. He got all niggas, bro.
He definitely got the black population with that one.
But, and now we're looking at him like, Where are the jobs?
We are working on getting jobs, not just for black people, but every race. Yo, bro, why do you talk like that? Like, you know, not confident. Speaking of libs, Dundas Square is officially going to be renamed Sankofa Square after a 17-6 decision by the committee. How you feeling about Sankofa Square?
They renamed it because Dundas was like a racist or something, right?
He was just against the abolition of slavery. So yeah, I guess he was a racist, but like, bro, like, weren't they all racist?
Normally, I don't like to speak on behalf of all black people, but let me say this on behalf of all black people.
Yeah.
We don't give a f-, bro. We have bigger problems than this, though. Like, even bigger than just black issues on a city. Bro, we have like a homeless issue that is rampant. We have job issues. We have economy issues.
Mental health.
Bro, we don't give a f- about changing Dundas Square. We're still going to call it Dundas Square, bro. We don't know no Sankofa, bro. So like, I'm just like, what are they focused on right now? And I feel like they kind of be trolling us at the same time, where it's like, oh no, we're taking steps in the right direction. But like, which direction are we going? You know, like.
Yo, so I googled the definition of Sankofa. So the word Sankofa comes from the Akan people of Ghana. It is an Akan term that literally means to go back and get it.
So we have to.
So are they like, they're coming back? They're trying to like get it back in blood with Canada? I don't know, man. And they gave y'all like, I feel like this was to appease minorities. And they gave y'all like the most African name, like Sankofa. You know what I'm saying? But I could respect it to an extent because like, it's not gonna affect how I sleep at night, but I feel like now you're gonna have to rename like everything. Like, wasn't this whole like country people, founded on racists?
And most people didn't even know that Dundas was against abolition. Like, we didn't, you know, that wasn't a thing. So I just feel like these are band-aid. These are kind of like, okay, you know, if you're a parent and like you have a child and like, you just try to appease them with small little things. It's like, oh, here's a little candy so you could like shut the fuck up. Mm. I feel like this is just our little candy. So it's like, oh, black people, what do you mean you don't get anything? We changed Dundas Square for you. And it's like, yeah, well, like reparations would be better, or like job opportunities, or like more resources, more recreational centers.
Representation, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Look at all the, even the venues that they've been closing in Toronto. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they've been like locking off so many resources that this one move is not enough to make us feel like you guys are doing anything for us.
Yeah, it is a band-aid solution. And I think it's the beginning of a slippery slope. And if I was a white person who's multi-generational Canadian, I can't lie, like, I'd be pretty worried. You know what I'm saying? Because like, if you consider like yourself like Canadian, not like the indigenous, but like, yo, like my family's family, like my great grandparents migrated to Canada and they were Irish and Scottish and British and they stayed that way the whole time, you know, you lost your nation at this point. Like, you, and it's either going to lead to like some type of rebellion because they're gonna like eventually like stand up, or it's gonna lead to like more tension between minorities and local like Canadians who are probably feeling like they're being left out of their own country.
Did you see that tweet that went viral and the guy's like, oh, I came back to Canada after like 10 or 20 years and I don't see any white people. What happened to this great nation? Blah, blah, blah. And like, it's kind of funny that you say that there will be tensions between minorities and white people. Because when I be going around, the white people be looking at me like, yo, you see what's going on, brother? And I be looking at them like, I see what's going on, brother. You know, like, so it's been like this weird unification between like the generational whites and the generational blacks that's been here, where it's like,
like, you guys are both anti-Punjabi?
Not sure. Bro, like, low key, where it's just like,
not anti-Punjabi.
Is this like, this isn't the same Canada. And obviously we're not like anti-Punjabi because the school that I went to, like there was a lot of Indian students there. You know what I mean? So like I grew up with Asian friends, brown friends, white friends. But now it just does seem like a little lopsided, where it's like, every Popeyes I go to, every Tim Hortons I go to. I think the McDonald's are so cool.
McDonald's, yeah. McDonald's is still pretty mixed. Like, you see a couple of black people there. You know, like, you might even see a white person at McDonald's still. See,
Ronald is not playing, but all the other fast food restaurants are gone.
Bro. They got it. What if Ronald changed to like Rondell? And would that be racist though? Like, I don't know. Is Ronald racist? Is Ronald like minstrel?
I think Ronald is low key. Ronald's like, if it's not black or white, it ain't right.
And his homies are weird too. I don't know. Yeah, they're like that purple blob.
Yeah, the burglar.
The burglar. Yo. We gotta look into that one.
But like, I don't think that Canada. Okay, how do I wanna say this? I feel like we're at a fork in the road, you know what I mean? Where we either stick to traditional customs that were founded on racist beliefs, or we become like a new version of Canada, but I don't really know what that would look like.
You know what? It's so interesting you say that. So when the Ottoman Empire fell and the modern Republic of Turkey formed, this guy named Atatürk, he was like, he wanted to modernize Turkey. He wanted to remove it from the empire. During the empire, you had all these different groups. You had Armenians, Arabs, Persians, Greeks, right? But what he did, he started a new country. Everyone pick a new last name. And then they changed the font. Like, instead of the Arabic alphabet, they changed it to the Latin alphabet.
Yeah.
So now everyone is united under being a Turk. Oh. Even though ethnically, this guy's Bulgarian, this guy's Armenian, this guy's Russian originally, you know? But now, and Turkey has this like strong union because they fostered this cultural identity, right? I feel like imagine Canada did that, where it's like, yo, you're Punjabi, you're Jamaican, you're Arab. Nah, pick a new last name. Y'all are all Canadian now. But that, like, and now we, and then they could be like, yo, we're changing the language. We're going to change this. We're going to change that. And now after like 80 years, our kids are going to be diehard Canadians. You know what I'm saying?
Funny enough, I feel like that's what Quebec has gotten right. You know what I mean? Like, they have always been like diehard Quebecois. You know what I mean? To the point where they even wanted to create their own country, where it's like, the rest of you guys, we are just super loyal to what we know. And I feel like what is Canadian culture? Like, what is there to be loyal to? So I feel like that might be a good idea if we wanted to kind of create a culture here. Because right now we are just a melting pot of other cultures, which has kind of allowed other cultures to kind of like run rampant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that is where the whole like, Caribbean, Arab, Habibti type like slang comes from, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like that you say melting pot, because you know when you make soup, you know, you put ingredients. But right now, just bear curry right now, bear still curry, like it, curry, and like it was curry. It was good, like, you know, like, but now it's like the soup is out of balance. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you either gotta add more jerk seasoning, more hummus, whatever you gotta add, or it's like, I don't know. Do you start a new soup? You know what I'm saying?
This is going to sound crazy, but as a 28-year-old black man, I understand how white people was feeling when they was looking around seeing niggas. You know what I mean? Because it's just like,
oh my God.
It's just like, wait, what's going on? Bro, when I go into certain places and I see like a gang, and I have to say gang.
Gang,
bro,
is crazy.
I have to say.
They're just chilling by their whip.
And I see like a gang of like brown mans like 8 deep. And then over here, like a next gang of brown mans 5 deep. I'm just like, yo.
This guy clutches his side bag, eh? You're like. I'm just like, you gotta cross the street.
Like, and I feel like, okay, right now I'm being completely ignorant. You know what I mean? These are just people.
We're obviously exaggerating.
Exactly.
And we're trying to be funny. Exactly. We're not anti-brown. You know what I'm saying?
Like, these are people obviously existing within like their own means, within their own culture. They're living life as they know to live it. But being someone that has been here and seeing a change, we do have to adapt to it and figure out a way where it could work for everybody.
Yeah, like there should be like a mandatory like how to be Canadian course, and we got to even figure that out too, because we are responsible for fostering Canadian identity, because we can't let the government do it for us, because guess what? They're trying. Yeah. And then what? Canadian identity becomes allowing everything. It becomes supporting certain movements that maybe you don't want to support. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we've always just been defined by multiculturalism, secularism, and like freedom to be yourself. But that's so vague.
I'm thinking of Canadian identity. I know Celine Dion had her her documentary showing the other day. And I'm like, that is Canadian heritage. But is that Canadian culture?
She's Quebecois too.
She is, eh?
Yeah, I think she's from Montreal.
That makes sense, actually, by the name. Celine Dion is definitely Jamaican culture because Jamaicans have adopted her. Just like,
yeah, why do Jamaicans love Celine Dion?
Yo, Jamaicans love just like country music. They love like jazz music. A lot of the biggest reggae songs are covers of pop songs. Like Angel in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Shaggy covered that. Just call me Angel. And like Sanchez, one of Jamaica's legendary singers, most of his songs are covers of like, this man covered Britney Spears. Sometimes I run, sometimes I hide. Mm. And that's a big tune in Jamaica, bro. A lot of Jamaica's biggest tunes are covers, you know, and like, we're not on no culture vulture.
It's appreciation.
It is appreciation. It is very much appreciation, you know? And I will say it's not culture vulture because we don't make money from it. You know what I mean? It's just like, man, I'm doing covers. And then people in the area, they love his voice. So it catapults him to a stratosphere where, you know, he could just like sing around the country. But yeah, we just love a good song, you know what I mean? Regardless of where it comes from.
What are some white artists that Jamaicans gravitate to that maybe we'd be surprised at?
Okay, other than Celine Dion, it's not necessarily white artists, but songs, you know what I mean? So like,
okay, give me some songs.
Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
Mandem covered that, bro.
Say a word.
Like I said, Angel of the Morning. Wait, I have my laptop right here, bro. Let me actually pull it up. Tell the people something real quick while I look this up.
You know, right now the Euros are going on. I don't know what stage it'll be at when you see this episode, but hopefully Turkey's still in it. Actually, what I will say, and then we'll get to this music. Do you feel like it's weird watching sports now that we're older because all the athletes are younger than us? Like, I feel like I've been watching the Euros heavy because Turkey's in it. So I feel this like resurgence of interest in sports, but it's not the same as before because I'm looking at these guys born in 02, 03, 04, making multi-millions. Like, I can't support it the same way I used to support like LeBron James when I was like 8 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me being 28 years old, anybody that's drafted in like the last 8 years, I can never like idolize you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you can appreciate it.
Yeah, I can appreciate you, but you are my youth, fam. Respect your elders, dog. If I see you, I'll slap you on Rose, bro. What are you saying right now, dog? Bronny. You know, you got drafted 55th, bro. But shout out to Bron.
See, you wouldn't rock a Bronny jersey.
I don't think so. He has to do something crazy. Like, even like What was that you that had the basketball player?
John Morant?
Yeah, John Morant. Like, when everyone was going crazy for him, and I found out he was like 20, 21, I'm just like, what the? I could step on this kid. Like
buddy, I was 7 when you were born.
Like. No, facts. So, like, although I really do appreciate what they have done, I just can't idolize anybody who's younger than me. It just feels weird, you know? It's kind of like those people that call youngers their big bro. It's like, oh, I'm with my big bro because he has money. And it's like, dude,
it's like you're 12 years older than him. Yeah. You know, that is embarrassing. I can't lie. Okay, so I'm seeing this playlist.
Okay, so
Ashley Simpson is crazy.
So okay, let me go through some tunes that they covered.
Okay, so these are tunes that you wouldn't expect Jamaicans to like. Actually, no, maybe. Why would I even say it like that? Well, yeah. How should I word this for the real?
Tunes you wouldn't expect Jamaicans to have covered.
Okay.
Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. Wayne Wonder covered that.
Okay.
And Wayne Wonder also covered... we'll skip that one because I don't... All My Life by Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville.
It's so random.
These are like two random white singers, but it's such a beautiful song, and that has been covered. You know what I mean? Also, songs like Thank You by Dido, Lady in Red, There's just so many, bro.
Even
there's
they
so
had many. That one that you talked about in one of your podcasts, the Katy Perry.
I kissed a girl. Sheryl Crow, The First Cut Is the Deepest. Like I said before, Knocking on Heaven's Door. They love Celine Dion. I Want to Know What Love Is. They covered like everything you could imagine, bro. Bryan Adams, Heaven. That was like anything you can imagine. Jamaicans have covered it, bro.
Shout out to Jamaicans. Yo, speaking of Jamaicans, I might be going to my first ever Caravana this year. I've never been my whole life, and I'm trying to get in shape. What's the etiquette like? Should I rock a flag if I'm not even from a place? Like, what no, should
don't,
I know?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Should I rock like a Turkish flag maybe or no? Would that be out of place? Should I just rock no flag?
They want me to say, oh, be nice and don't storm the gates, but everyone is going to knock down the fences. All the people that paid to, you know, be in Caravana, it's going to get stormed. You know what I mean? So I feel like the number one rule for Caravana is just to have fun. You know what I mean?
Should I storm the fence?
You'll storm the blood clot fence, dog.
Yeah, because it's kind of messed up that I have to pay, because when you look at like the history of that celebration, it was more like a rebellion, you know? Like, why am I paying?
I do understand why they want you to pay, because there are people that put a lot of work into the costumes. They put a lot of work into putting this event together.
Sound system.
You know what I mean? There's different bands, and like each band invested a lot of money.
You know what? Because I'm not Caribbean, I'm going to pay. But like if I was Caribbean, I wouldn't pay, because that's my culture.
But the thing is, it's like, there's two different types of paying. You could pay to enter the parade, which is like you could watch from the fences and stuff. But that is not when they say pay to enter Caravana, they mean follow any band, whether it be Epic, Allure, Saudina, any band, pay your $1,000 or $500, get your costume and go on the road. Like that. That is the way they want you to do it, bro.
However, bro, I'm not paying $1,000, bro.
I don't really have to five bills like that. So
five bills?
You could wait till the fence get knocked down, and then you could just walk in with the rest of Toronto, and then everyone's going to be turning up. And as much as people tell you that, oh, we don't want stormers, it's not lit without the stormers, bro.
Does that happen? Like, at what point of the festival does that happen? Like, early in the morning? Like,
nah, I'd say it starts around 9, and then the stormers don't really get active until like 1 or 2.
Okay, because I'm looking here. So should I get, what's the difference between the silver pass and the gold pass? The silver, 3-day silver pass, $75.
Russell, you went on Caravana.com.
CaravanaToronto.com. They have a little countdown here. And then there's 4-day passes. But is it 3 days or 4 days?
Yo, these guys are finessing. What even is this for? This is for parties.
This is just for parties? Choose from over 10 events. And so these are nightlife events. So these are like after parties.
Yeah, exactly. The only way to pay for Caravana legitly is to contact your favorite band, get a blood clot costume, and whine on the fucking road. If you don't want to do that, wait until somebody brave knocks down the fence, and then you guys can all follow back on him.
Yo, look at this. They are just selling it for events after. Because look, like $75 for 3 events. This is a 3-day silver pass. So ticket options, Afrobeat, Black and Gold, Twerk Madness, Carnival Frost, Carnival Nights, I Remember, Lit, Rodeo Drive, 25 plus only, Set It Off, Top Shelf, Turn Up. So these are all after parties?
Yeah.
So what if I just want to walk? So I just got to find like a band. Like not like a band, but like I have
if
to
you,
find like
if
a
you
group.
Just want to walk, then just pull up, bro. There's no point of like, if you just want to walk and you don't really want to like,
I want to catch a couple wines.
You can still catch a couple wines. No, you don't have to pay 5 bills, you know, but like if you really want to actively involve in the celebration, then it's best to just contact the band, because they're going to make sure you get the full experience. Call that. Let me ask you, if you have a shawty, are you letting her play in Caravana?
Absolutely not. Really? But like, that's not my culture. So that's why, like, I can kind of understand, like, for me, like, from my culture, that's, like, very extreme behavior. You know what I'm saying? Especially from our women. You know what I'm saying? Like, idea of, like, whining and daggering is, like...
What do you mean extreme behavior?
It's just very taboo. Like, it's not normalized in Syrian or Turkish culture. They're a bit more reserved, even with their dancing. Like, it's a very, like, sexually charged type of dance.
So you think Caribbean people are whores?
I did not say that. But I, yeah, that was a super setup. But you guys have more promiscuous dances than us, for sure.
So there's no dances in Turkish cultures where men and women dance together?
There are, but it's never like daggering or whining.
So all the dances are face-to-face?
Sometimes. More times when the girls want to wild out, it's like girls only. Or so, we might have belly dancing, but we're not allowed to like touch them, really.
Okay, I was going to say face-to-face dancing is probably more sexual than...
It's very like than direct.
Than behind... Because face-to-face, the penis is actually on the pum-pum.
Yeah, I understand like you guys are able to kind of separate the sexualness from it.
What makes it sexual?
It's the dance moves are almost like simulating sexual positions, mostly doggy style.
So any kind of dance. Dude,
there's humping. Like there's literally dry humping. Like,
but I'm thinking of most dance. Even if you think of ballroom dancing, like you could still say that's missionary.
No, you're not on the ground. There will be man's daggering who will jump off a ladder and land in between a woman's legs and start dry humping as missionary. Like I'm
that's not dancing though. That's not dancing. That is
that's like a sport.
That's different. That's dirty dagger master.
Is that what that's called?
Dirty dagger master. Shout out dagger master still.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. He's like a 40-year-old man that like is still jumping off the ladders and stuff.
Bro, it almost enters WWE territory.
It does, and I would say that like that is not what caravana culture is. You know what I mean? Like that is what it has devolved to due to like degeneracy and like a lot of most. Carnival dancing is not a woman on the floor with her legs open.
Okay, but even like the idea of like catching a bubble, right? Which could be innocent. Like I feel like Caribbean culture is able to kind of remove that like sexual nature from it, even though by nature it's like a physically like somewhat intimate like dance. But
what kind of dance can a man and a woman do together that's not intimate?
No, it's intimate by nature, but I think whether it's sexual or not is the question. Like you can do like a dance where you guys are just two-stepping together, you're holding hands or something, and that's still intimate in a sense, but it's not as sexual as like her is literally whining on my over pants.
So
like you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to like insult Caribbean dancing or daggering or whining. I like catching a bubble, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just think for my culture, it's not a normal thing. Like, it's seen as extreme.
So do you think people from outside of Caribbean culture go to Caribana solely to participate in sexualized activities, knowing that they can't do it in their own culture because it's taboo?
I'm sure there's a segment of people who enjoy the novelty of that type of, like, dance. You know what I'm saying? And it is very taboo and it's almost rebellious for them. You know what I'm saying? Because like if you're Afghan, no Afghans are whining on Afghans. You know what I'm saying? But if you go to Caribana and you might see a girl that you're never going to talk to again, there's no type of like personal connection. You don't got to marry this girl. You don't got to see her ever again. And you just catch a little whine or whatever. Like that will be an enjoyable experience or at least a novel experience enough for you to like want it. Plus like, who doesn't want like a fat whining on them? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so do you feel like Caravana is an excuse for some people?
Oh my gosh. No, go with where you were going because we could get into this.
Do you feel like Caravana is an excuse for some people just to get their shit off? Like horny niggas who maybe incels, maybe like people who can't really get friction or activation from any other woman, this is an excuse for them to go and get some dry humping.
Here's what I will say. One, I've never been to Caribana, so I don't know the mixed demographics of it. I don't know how many non-Caribbean people are coming.
That's fair.
Two, just because you go to like one of these like basement bashments or whatever, or like Caribana, you're not guaranteed a wine. You still kind of have to have game and confidence. Like it's not like you just go there and like you're automatically catching a bubble. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
like
you're automatically catching a bubble, broski.
For real?
Yeah. He's going. Trust me. This year, you'll see, fam. Trust me.
I'm excited. But, like, I've been in parties where, like, you still kind of, like, got to approach the girl. You can get rejected. Like, I've seen mans fail the turn back test. So, it's, like, it's not guaranteed.
Fam, this is not a regular party. This is not a regular club. Everyone comes to Caribana for the specific reason to dance. Now, the reason why Caribbean people go there to dance is cultural. But like I said,
probably non-Caribbean people are trying to get their rocks off, like you said.
You know what I mean? So like people are dancing regardless. The reason people are there is to dance. That is the main intention. We're celebrating culture. And the main part of the culture is this dance.
Mm, okay, okay. Don't worry, we still got the other one going.
Okay.
So what should my why be when it comes to like dancing? Like I don't want to be one of those guys who's just trying to get my rocks off. Like, that's why, should I have a flag?
Nah, that's kind of crazy. But it depends on who you want to be, you know what I mean? Because you could be Chet Hanks. If you go with a flag, the Geldum are going to love you, bro. You know what I mean? But you're going to have to be Chet Hanks, and you're going to have to...
like, work on my patois. You know what I should do? I should do, like, a 10-day, like, crash course in patois before Caribana, like, document it. Like, take lessons, and, like...
Day one, speaking patois. Day three, speaking patois. You know, blood clot 10 day, I speak patois, yeah? Something
yeah, like I think that'd be a good idea.
Imagine Zara saying that, bro.
I don't know. I'm kind of down to learn it. I might link, I know a shitload of Jamaican, so it wouldn't be hard to practice. You're right here, yeah, bro. Right? I'm like, yo, what does brought up see mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's jokes. But yeah, in regards to the why, I would say like, just as long as they're not going there to sexualize the shotties, you should be good. You know what I mean? But like, if your sole purpose is to go there to like sexualize to a black woman, then it's like, bro, you have to get buckles though.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get bockled. but yeah, man, we're going to wrap up. It's been an hour and 16 minutes.
Oh, that's
DJ
crazy.
Natural Wave, where can they find you?
Wait, there's no more. What else?
We actually covered all our topics.
We covered all the topics. Yeah. Hey, anything else happened recently that we want to like have any hot takes on?
I don't really want to talk about the K-Money ratting thing because it's still to be confirmed. There's still information.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into politics.
We're not that type of pod, but we're a type of pod that, you know, if you're from Toronto or even outside of Toronto, you know, we like to discuss controversial things and give y'all a take of how we actually feel and how other people think and engage in healthy debate. And if you have any comments about it, even if you disagree with us.